I don't know how you all are feeling these days, but I am pretty weary of the old earth as it is right now, or at least the situation on earth. In a purely metaphorical sense, I think seeing the former earth pass away has a certain appeal. The vision of John of Patmos, not the gospel writer, is an experience of a new transformed earth that replaces the one that fled from God's presence that we read about in chapter 20 of Revelation. His vision includes God wiping every tear from each eye. His vision includes no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. The new earth he sees is a restoration to the time before evil and suffering entered the world. But we don't always know what to do with these visions. Is it a Nostradamus-like prediction of the future? Is it a promise? Is it a threat? So oftentimes Presbyterians just avoid Revelation altogether. But unfortunately, this book has been used to justify all manner of things. In many ways, it has been abused and used to scare people into submission or to let people off the hook for doing the hard work of being Christ's disciples because God will take care of it all in the end. This book, however, is not the work of some obsessive paranoiac in the midst of a mad fantasy. Neither is it a plan for the future divinely dictated over some heavenly smart speaker, with John of Patmos being the scribe writing every word down. It is, at its heart, a book of consolation. It is a vision of comfort for people who were persecuted and in distress. And just so we're clear to contextualize this, what many American Christians call persecution these days is not actually persecution. Celebrating holidays on Maine instead of Christmas on Maine is not persecution. The fact that one's religious beliefs are no longer dominant in every aspect of society does not mean that one is persecuted. John and his community knew real persecution. And so these visions had the power to lift him out of his everyday life and into a heavenly realm. And from that position, he could see the earthly existence from God's perspective. As far-fetched and as distant as his visions may seem to us, we could all benefit from shifting our perspective. What would happen if we were able to see our day-to-day lives from God's point of view? What effect would this enlarged perspective have on your life? And what effect could this enlarged perspective have on the behavior of our congregation, our community, and our nation? John tells us that he heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God is dwelling here with humankind. God's home is among mortals." That means that community is where God dwells with God's people. That means that community in itself can be seen as a gift from God. So think about it. We've already talked last week about being grateful for the gift of God bringing us together. God has created us so that we can work together and to cooperate with one another, enabling us to achieve things that would be impossible if we were to attempt them on our own as individuals. And on this day, when we stop to remember the saints who have passed, this passage connects us with this different perspective, one that is eternal and one that is grateful for the temporal community. Today, we honor the saints who have come before us, whose examples we wish to follow, and also the saints who are alive today and the saints who will come after us. Chaplain Ginger Grab writes, "We understand that by virtue of our baptism, we are saints as well. We belong to the communion of saints, past, present, and future. In this holy community, we partake in the divine. Today, we are grateful that we belong to the communion of saints, past, present, and future." See, the book of Revelation is a destination story, as opposed to or in addition to an origin story. It is a comfort because it connects us to our origin in the broadest sense. That is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation reminds us of our origin, and it helps us understand our ultimate destination. But the destination isn't like a roadmap or a travel itinerary in the literal sense. Rather, the questions of where we are from and where we are headed have the same answer: God. As T.S. Eliot wrote, "In my end is my beginning." Our final destination is the same as where we started. It's like a circle. But we have trouble sometimes seeing that weird time stuff, the Alpha and the Omega, the "in my end is my beginning" part. So on this day, we pray that God's Spirit might open our eyes and our hearts to see the glorious cloud of witnesses on this All Saints Sunday. It's not hard to look around and see the present-day saints here as we worship together. It's a little harder to see those who have gone on ahead, those who sat in these pews, or pews in other sanctuaries before some of us were even born. So can we see those? Can we see those who dreamed a church and lived lives of steady faithfulness? Those who imperfectly but faithfully walked the path before us, those who paved the way, those who taught us by their example, and in whose debt we now live. Here we now sit, surrounded by countless generations. And today we remember the faith communities that have shaped us and nurtured us, and that still shape us and nurture us and hold us accountable. This community of love in which we live. Today we remember that it extends to all God's people on earth and all the company of heaven. All Saints' Day has been called a day to feast on thanksgivings of memory. And so we'll do that. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we will speak the names of the saints past as we gather around the table of love to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we will feast on thanksgivings of memory. Pastor Patricia Ferris paints a beautiful picture of what can happen in this feast. She says, "Our hearts will fill with gratitude for the boundless love of God, encircling all time and space, holding us close, drawing us in, lifting us up, sending us out into the world God so loves." As we remember the many gifts of God to us, which come in so many ways, all that for which we are thankful, may we respond with humble and generous and grateful hearts. For in God's love, and especially today on this day as we feast on thanksgivings of memory, we remember that through God's love in us, our lives move out in concentric circles of love. From the me at the center, we move to the we of our close family, to the we of our friends and neighbors, our church, our co-workers, to the we of the whole humankind, the whole human family bearing responsibility to care for one another wherever we may be and for creation itself. As the Japanese author Kazuki Tanahashi has written, the circle is a reminder that each moment is not just the present, but it is inclusive of our gratitude to the past and our responsibility to the future. So it is in Scripture. In Genesis, we come to understand our origins in the broadest sense. And in Revelation, we come to understand our ultimate destination. Our beginning and our ending are like a circle, because where we begin and where we end are both in God. I hope that you all have noticed our new garden that's outside the sanctuary right out there. It's called the For All the Saints Garden. And instead of putting up plaques and signs all over our campus in memory of our beloved local saints, we lift them up in the garden. There will be a sign in the narthex with a list of names in whose memory contributions were made that helped build the garden and will help sustain it. I'm especially grateful to Phyllis Bearden, who had a vision of transforming a somewhat sad and hard to care for little spot of earth and got us organized to create a space where you can stop and sit and remember all the saints who have gone, and in sadness and grief, be grateful for all the saints. And while we are grateful for all the saints, we also remember that we are called to be grateful for the lives that we have still to live. Diana Butler Bass reminds us that being alive is radical gratitude. And John of Patmos reminds us in his Revelation that our beginning and our ending are both in God. All of life is in God. So whether we find ourselves ready for the new heaven and the new earth, if we find ourselves troubled by the way it is on this old earth right now, or if we are caught up in grief and sadness and struggle, whether visions like John's make us excited about the future or terrified, we can remember that while we do not know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. Knowing that we are always beginning to end, held in God's loving care, frees us to live in hope rather than fear, and that is cause to be grateful. So may this day, may this commemoration connect us to the divine and eternal. May it unite us with all the saints and with Christ, who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who encompasses all in the eternal circle of love. Alleluia. Amen.